Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC, New York Public Radio, this is the podcast of The Brian Lehrer Show. I'm Brian Lehrer. This is just one segment of today's show. The rest of today's show is available for download and on-demand listening at WNYC.org. This podcast is made possible by WNYC and its listeners. Please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and today, if you didn't know, is National Coming Out Day. As any lesbian or gay man who's ever been faced with coming out knows, it's not something you do once and it's over. It's an endless series of situational decisions. And with us now to celebrate National Coming Out Day and have some fun taking your calls with your coming out stories is Bobby Rivers, blogger, playwright, actor, host of Top 5 on the Food Network. Maybe you remember him from Channel 5, Channel 4, VH1, maybe even saw his off-Broadway reading of his piece, The Chelsea Diaries, about downtowners looking for love in post-9/11 Manhattan. And we open our phones for you. How out are you? What's an unusual coming out story that you'd like to share? Are you out to some people, in the closet to others? How tricky does it get? Would anyone like to come out for the first time right here on this show?
Oh,
and
man,
we'll send you a CD of your moment.
Yeah.
Or anyone else at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Bobby Rivers, hello.
Brian Lehrer, nice to be. Your show is great brain food. I am such a fan of your show. I've watched you on TV. It is nice to be here.
Thank you so much. And that's great coming from somebody who works at the Food Network to be called great brain food. For you,
yes,
was coming out more like a moment or more like a process?
You know what? It was really a process because I think when I was doing it, it was about when I really started doing it. It was about 10 years ago when there wasn't as much freedom now. I think a lot of young gays may see shows like Will and Grace or Queer Eye and think it's easy. 10 years ago, it was not so easy. We were still within the confines of race, of class, politics, you know, for me personally, New York was in a different place. So it was you were concerned, if I come out, am I going to have a job?
That's right.
If I come out, will my family still love me?
In fact, I was almost surprised to see that there is still such a thing as National Coming Out Day and people still pay attention to it, because this almost feels like a conversation from the early 90s when there was a big push by the activist community to have people come out as a statement of strength. And I wonder if you think we're largely beyond that now, with really very few people staying in the closet anymore, or is it a hidden problem?
You know what? I have to tell you, and why being here today is so special, because had my partner lived, today would be our anniversary. And within my family, there has been a rift between my mother and me for the last 2 years. It seemed that she didn't mind me. I think my being gay bothered her. After Richard passed away, and I was telling her how much he meant to me and how being with him was the turning point of my life. And I get so mad when people think that being a Christian and being gay are exclusive. The relationship with him brought me closer to God than any sacrament I've received so far as a Catholic. And I explained this all to her, and it just didn't land. She said, well, now that he's dead, would you consider marrying a woman? And I went, yeah, Liza Minnelli, but, you know, try to make light of it. You know, but it's still been difficult. And since then, she's really gotten upset that I've been out about it. You know, she would have preferred, well, be gay, maybe enter into a marriage of convenience.
Yes.
And I think that was thinking that was typical of her generation, being a woman who married in the 50s, and maybe you did that sort of thing. You know, you just had an agreement between husband and wife, and that was it.
So it's still a process.
It's still a process. It's
still probably a lot of people grappling with those kinds of relations. Let's take a phone call.
Mark
in Connecticut, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good. The story I was going to share is about 10 years ago, I was 28 years old, and in a Methodist conference in New Jersey where they were voting on trying to decide whether homosexuality was a sin or not. And I was sitting next to my dad, who's a minister, and the conversation wasn't going very well between the different factions in the room. And And it seemed like all the people that were standing up to support gay people were all straight people. And so it was kind of scary, but I decided to stand up and say I was a gay person. And I had grown up in that Methodist conference in northern New Jersey, so a lot of the people there knew me since I was a younger person. And
that's a heavy environment mm-hmm. in which to come out. And do yeah. you think that because they knew you prior to knowing your sexual orientation, that it made a difference, that it kind of humanized the whole notion of gayness?
Yeah, I think it made a big difference. And it was definitely harder to just kind of label people once you know them and you love them. I mean, of course, it always doesn't work out that way. But in that case, I think the vote turned to a more positive outcome. So,
how did it turn out?
It turned out, well, this is the Northern New Jersey annual conference of Methodist Church, and they voted that indeed we should take out that language from our discipline in the Methodist Church. But that was only our conference. Then in the larger United States Church, we didn't prevail, but we did in Northern New Jersey.
So. Right. Mark, that's a great story. Thank you
that
very
is a great
much.
Let me a quick story. My late partner was White Southern Baptist. And I was very close with his family. His family was in Tennessee. And his grandfather, who was like the head of the family, was very much sort of, he was like an Atticus Finch. And Richard was a good man. And when he got diagnosed, the family rallied to help him. And I learned more being part of this chosen family. And one of the things that he did was he took issue with the deacon in their church constantly berating, if you will, gay people, and he waited after one service and said, "Now, you know, we've been in this church for years. My son has been in this church for years, my grandson. And our grandson is gay and now has AIDS. And if you are not going to embrace him in the fold, then we have to find another church." Mm-hmm. And I think that was such a powerful thing to do and such a powerful statement. And I did think it caused, from what I was told, the deacon looked at things differently. But he was able to put a face on gayness.
Right. I think we may be heading for a major religious schism in this country overall, with denominations dividing in two, as we heard the story from that caller, ultimately deciding that they're going to dig in on the belief that homosexuality is a sin, or they're going to dig in on the belief that homosexuality is okay. And, you know, but it's such a deeply held issue
yes.
in so many denominations that I don't know how some of these denominations are going to be able to go on as one.
Exactly. I agree with you there.
Well, we can take more phone calls with your coming out stories. That was a pretty dramatic one from that caller. How about yours? Unusual coming out stories, ways in which you are partly out but not entirely out. Let's talk about it on National Coming Out Day. 212-433-WNYC is our phone number, 433-9692. And my guest is Bobby Rivers, who you probably know best from the Food Network if you watch the Top 5, which he hosts. Are you out on television in an explicit way?
Not with the Food Network show, because it's really all about...
It's not relevant.
It's really not relevant. The previous job that I had on... there was a short-lived show on Lifetime, which was an ABC News production, and I was the entertainment editor, and I was out on that. And I think if people really listened in between the lines, watching me do years and years and years of live morning news live shots, they probably put two and two together.
Carrie in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi. How are you, Brian?
Good, thank you. And you?
Good. I was a little worried about the way you started the conversation off, saying, you know, isn't this maybe a discussion from the 90s about coming out? And my experience is I grew up in the Midwest, and I've lived in South Carolina and also in San Francisco and now New York. And that, you know, whenever someone has the first realization that they are gay, you know, it's always a sort of wow moment, and what am I going to do with this after being bombarded mm-hmm. with, you know, heterosexual images for years and years since they were just tiny. And so, you know, we had the civil rights movement in the 60s, and I doubt, you know, there are very many African-American or minority people around who would say that we don't need to have the race discussion, and I think that we still need to have the, you know, the coming out discussion.
I agree.
Fair enough.
I totally agree.
Yes. I think, though, that the reason for the question is that what I think I see is the atmosphere getting more welcoming than it was 10 or 20 years ago. And so for people who are, realizing their own homosexuality, it's not a question of, oh, my God, am I ever going to tell anybody this or keep it to myself and squelch my sexuality for the rest of my life? It's more a question of how.
Right.
And to whom and in what circumstances and how to press it forward.
And there are these little things. I would find they almost like what I would call the holiday landmines. For as many years as I've worked in broadcasting, and every year I would start to get nervous around November because the thought of, what am I going to do for the company Christmas party? Do I go alone or do I just not go at all? Because you're there with everybody. You see the wives, the husbands, the boyfriend, the girlfriends, and you feel like a brown shoe in a room full of tuxedos.
That's why it's a continuous series of situational decisions.
It really is.
Absolutely. And I would add that in every new city that I've gone to, it's been a new exploration of how and when to come out. Moving here from San Francisco, I now live in Washington Heights. And Washington Heights is definitely not the Castro. So, depending on how sort of obvious you are, and this opens up a whole other can of worms, but, whether or not people might be able to distinguish you as gay or not just by how you look, I think it then becomes different neighborhoods and different areas can be hostile or not hostile. And so as out as you are and as comfortable as you are in one city, you may not be in another.
Carrie, thanks so much for calling.
Thank you.
And this is Nigeli in Cortland, New York. Do I have that right?
Yes, that's right.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
My parents kind of forced me out of the closet.
Wow. Your parents forced you out of the closet.
Yes, they did.
How did that happen?
I started dating my partner when I was in high school, and I wasn't really ready to tell my whole family about it. Mm-hmm. So my parents just kept asking me, are you with her? You hang out with her all the time. So they snooped around, and they found a letter she had written me before I went away for about 2 weeks. And I couldn't pass it off as a friend letter. They made it very hard for me to come out because I wasn't ready at 18 to see it.
Why do you think they did that to the rest of the extended family?
I honestly don't know, but the whole family's okay with it except for them. They forced the issue, and they couldn't handle it.
Oh, they were trying to get the rest of the family to rally around to say it wasn't okay.
I guess, but I even now at 21, I'm still trying to cope with the fact that I wasn't ready at 18.
Uh-huh.
And I don't tell few people at work and my job know. My entire circle of friends do know, and I've been with her for about 3 years now.
Mm.
And my parents have just made it very difficult to cope with it.
Bobby, any advice for Nigeli? It sounds like she's still in a tough situation with her family. I realize you don't host an advice show.
Oh, yeah.
It's a food show, and neither do I. But Nigeli, what do you need?
Are there positive images that you can refer them to on TV, or are there books that you can share together, or what help would you need most?
I think just the whole emotional aspect of your parents not being okay with it and not being able to share the one thing that you really do love.
Still at my age, I go through that with my father passed away, but I go through that with my mother, and she and I have been very, very close. And I think that there comes a time when you just have to gracefully move on and find your own identity and just be as kind and as brave as possible.
And set up a boundary and say, this is
you
who
really
I
do.
Am. This is not a topic of debate anymore. This is just who I am.
Yes.
And you either deal with it graciously or I'm not going to be around you for a while.
That's right.
That's sometimes, and I hope it doesn't come to that, but sometimes people have to do that about one issue or another.
Right.
Nigeli, good luck, and thank you for calling us. Jay in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC.
Hi, I'm just calling because I feel like a lot of times the community is seen as gay and lesbian. And I'm actually transgendered. I'm 28 years old. And I came out as queer when I was 14. and then came out as transgendered when I was 22. And I've always been fairly politically active and very out, even since a teenager. But it's increasingly difficult being trans and that not being a subject that's addressed openly in the lesbian and gay mainstream community and politics.
So is it hard for you to come out as transgender, even among gays and lesbians?
No, I don't find that uncomfortable or difficult for me, but I think that in general there's no sense of advocacy or education done on the part for transgender people on the part.
Do you wind up feeling like lesbian. Feeling almost like sort of like a misfit in a group of misfits?
Yeah,
sure.
Exactly. But unfortunately, I find that it also comes down to things such as anti-discrimination laws and issues around healthcare, where the needs are addressed within those issues for gay and lesbian people, but not for transgendered individuals.
Mm-hmm. Jay, thank you for calling us. You know, there's so many words in the language now. I mean, it used to just
exactly.
be, you know, you were gay or straight, but now it's gay
lesbian, bisexual, transgender.
And I wonder even if the advent of the terms like metrosexual and boy, B-O-I, meaning girls who dress and behave like boys, made the public more sophisticated about the reins of sexuality and sexual expression in this country, or if it's just confusing the hell out of people.
I think it's a little of both. I mean, I have a buddy of mine who is so metrosexual, it drives me nuts. I mean, he loves Broadway musicals. He owns the Judy Garland soundtrack to A Star Is Born. He loves Betty Davis and All About Eve and now Voyager, and deeply, passionately, fervently loves his wife and two kids.
There you go. Metrosexual.
Metrosexual.
We have time for one more coming out story. Thomas in Manhattan, we have about 30 seconds for you.
How you doing? I just wanted to make the connection between teaching people how to treat us and coming out. I just think your show is great. I'm glad we're celebrating the day.
Thank you.
I just know that in my small family in Nova Scotia, my coming out had a rippling effect that was huge. And just over the last 15 years has been a really amazing experience. And I have nephews and nieces now that are comfortable being out and being out with me, and I've gone on to, you know, become a parent myself, and it's like a Harvey Milk type experience of every day just coming, you know, putting one foot out there and saying I am who I am.
And
Thomas,
bless him for mentioning that name, Harvey Milk.
Thomas, thank you for your call. That's our call in for National Coming Out Day. I want to thank Bobby Rivers for being my partner for this. You can see him as host of Top 5 on the Food Network, which is when?
Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. Eastern and Pacific.
Thanks, Bobby. It was fun.
Thank you, Brian.
Nuala McGovern produced the program with Ilya Meritz, Jim Colgan, and Priya George. Help today from Maria Galvez-Pentinen. That's Rob Christensen at the Audio Controls. Music, as ever, provided by Soul Live. I'm Brian Lehrer. Thanks for listening to today's podcast of The Brian Lehrer Show from WNYC, New York Public Radio. This was just one of the show's segments. You can hear everything we do on demand at WNYC.org. Check out our other podcasts at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This podcast is made possible by WNYC and its listeners. Please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. And thanks.